And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. An Israeli airstrike on a five-story building in northern Gaza has killed at least 93 people, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. The fallout continues from the Sunday Trump rally at Madison Square Garden, at which a Trump supporter called Puerto Rico an island of floating garbage.
In response to Sunday's rally, a nonpartisan Puerto Rican group in Pennsylvania is now urging Latinos to vote for Harris. Today, Trump heads to Allentown, Pennsylvania, a city home to an estimated 34,000 Puerto Ricans.
ABC's Perry Russell. Trump running mate J.D. Vance.
You know what I do when I think a joke is dumb or not funny? I don't laugh.
A new ABC News Ipsos poll shows the vast majority of voters are ready to accept the outcome of the election, regardless of who wins. Longtime Trump ally Steve Bannon gets out of prison today. He served 4 months for refusing to talk about January 6th with Congress. The Dodgers have taken a commanding lead in the World Series, shutting out the Yankees 3-0 so far. This is ABC News. More than 700 homes evacuated south of Denver ahead of a wildfire being pushed by strong winds. The biggest bank in the country is now suing some of its own customers after that ATM scam that went viral over the summer.
In late August, some Chase customers were able to withdraw money from ATMs by writing fraudulent checks to themselves, then immediately withdrawing cash before the checks bounced. Typically, only a fraction of a check's value is immediately available until the check clears, but a glitch at Chase allowed customers to withdraw much larger amounts in that time. Taking advantage of the glitch, which quickly went viral on social media, was essentially check fraud.
It's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. One guy managed to withdraw most of a bogus $335,000 check, and he still has most of it. There's a new king of candy for Halloween. For years, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups have been the most popular purchase, but now M&M's have taken the crown. Reese's number two, followed by Skittles and Sour Patch Kids. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they-them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It is the first weekend of early in-person voting. If you plan on early voting, make sure to bring an official form of photo ID, like your driver's license. Earlier this week, the Wisconsin Election Commission reported that municipal clerks were having issues with label printing delays, but that issue has been resolved. Dough at a Wisconsin pizza place was tainted with THC. Public Health Madison Dane County staff say Famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton served pizza from Monday through Thursday with dough that was contaminated. Multiple people had to be taken to the hospital with symptoms like dizziness, increased heart rate, and vomiting. Famous Yeti shares an industrial kitchen with other businesses where they make food and other products. This makes it possible that it's an unfortunate and bizarre case of cross-contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Celtics 119-108. Milwaukee now 0-2 on this road trip. They've lost three in a row. Damian Lillard.
It's definitely frustrating because when we do what we're supposed to do, you see what the first game looked like, and then in moments of the last two games, you see when we do it, what the game looks like. I just think it's one of those things right now where you just gotta stay in the fight.
The Bucks play in Memphis Thursday. College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on reviewing the loss to Penn State over the weekend.
You know, know, it was tough. But as you look back at it, you know, the thing that it comes down to is execution, and execution in the fourth quarter, and then making plays.
The Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night. The NFL Network reporting an MRI showed no serious damage for Jordan Love and that groin injury. Could he play Sunday against the Lions?
If he can go, he'll go. We'll see where he's at by the end of the week. But if we feel like he can't protect himself, then we certainly wouldn't put him in that position.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 35. Tonight, our temperature dropping into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, showers, thundershowers with falling temperatures will be in the upper 50s to low 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Insha Raman. We're going to talk about crime, public safety, policing, and immigration, and what voters in Wisconsin really want.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 29th, 2024. 1 week to go until Election Day. And it is a spectacular morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, listening on the Civic Media app, listening by podcast, or catching us on social media where you can watch us do this final program. It is 57 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Record high temperatures are in danger of falling later today. Best illustrated perhaps by Greg Bach's simple wardrobe statement on the day. Greg Bach, describe your wardrobe.
I'm not wearing any pants. I am wearing some shorts.
Greg's in shorts. Just want to make sure we add that quick.
It is here. 70 degrees right now in Racine.
70 degrees at Radio Park.
Yep.
That is unreal.
Yeah,
that is. Where's my line? Where's my Lionel Richie impression? Outrageous! It's just outrageous. Alicia, right away up on YouTube with the comments. 7 days. Let's go. Sprint to the finish line.
Yeah.
And it is. There is so much going on, and so much of it crisscrossing Wisconsin, which is why Greg, as a comedian, professional comedian, I can't wait for your reaction to the news that J.D. Vance would like women and minorities to get over it and to stop getting offended when white comedians tell offensive jokes about women and minorities. Is that not like the best career advice you would ever give somebody who wants to be a public speaker or a comedian, is to just tell women and minorities to get over it and not be offended?
Well, I mean, it's what
that works from the stage all the time, right?
I mean, there's nothing better than when a comedian, usually a guy my age or older, gets on stage and says something disparaging about women, gay people, trans people, people of color, or poor people, or anyone that they dislike and or fear, and then they say, it's just jokes, people, it's okay to laugh at them. But
just
they're
jokes.
Not funny.
You know what? Here, I'm going to tell you really quick. We've got State Senator Brad Paff at 7:05, and then at 7:30, Hans Breitenmoser is going to give us a final review of where the various campaigns stand when it comes to issues that impact rural Wisconsin. We've got Sherita Booker in about 10 minutes or so, most popular social media posts. Christina Lurie will talk about some very unscientific ways to conduct a presidential poll, like using cookies.
Yeah.
That's coming up in about 25 minutes. But let's just keep rolling on J.D. Vance here, because the reason I bring it up right off the top is he made these remarks first in Wausau and then in Racine yesterday, where, again, the vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump, and there's not been a pairing this spot on. These two complement each other. You haven't seen anything like this since Beavis and Butthead. These guys are just two peas in a pod. And here's J.D. Vance being asked by a reporter, hey, the comedian who told the Puerto Rican joke that's sparking all the backlash and all the other jokes, we thought you and Trump said you wanted to be uniters. And here's some of J.D. Vance.
I'm curious, as we are entering this last stretch of campaigning, this final week, is that the right tone to have started this final 8 days with?
Well, first of all, I think that we've got to focus, Alec, I appreciate the question, but I think that we as a country, and I think that includes the press, it includes the Kamala Harris campaign, and it certainly includes our campaign, the way that we unite the country is to talk about the issues the American people care the most about.
Oh, Craig, you got to talk about the issues that people care about.
Talk about the issues. All right, writing that down.
Got it.
All right, thank you,
Mr. Vance.
All right,
so let's pick it up, J.D. Vance. Take it from here.
Now, I've heard about the joke. I haven't actually seen the joke that you mentioned, but I think that it's telling that Kamala Harris's closing message is essentially that all of Donald Trump's voters are Nazis, and you should get really pissed off about a comedian telling a joke. That is not the message of a winning campaign. And most importantly, it's not the message of a person who's fit to be the president of the United States of America. And my own view on this is, look, again, I haven't seen the joke. Maybe it's a stupid racist joke, as you said. Maybe it's not. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the joke. But I think that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it.
He's so over it.
Guys, I'm over it too. You know, let's just pack it in and go home. It's just... He just called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage.
I didn't hear the joke. I haven't seen the joke. Okay, but he was in the room, so he's lying. He was well aware of the joke.
Yeah.
But then of course you can't have this campaign now without dropping some kind of vulgarity in there, like him using the P word in that comment. But yeah. He says, maybe it's a stupid racist joke, but maybe it's not. I'm sorry. Maybe it's not. And his view on that is that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing. And again, I just picture him going, ladies, just ladies. Settle down. And all of you who are of Hispanic origin, you know, settle down. There's been such outrage. Yes, Mr. Bach.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, he's focusing all his ire against Kamala Harris, who just, you know, lady has opinions, so she's not fit for president.
Low IQ, of course.
So
yeah.
why don't we just shift the focus then to the people in his own parties like Rick Scott or Deborah Marcosell Powell, both GOP, sitting GOP congresspeople, who both said that this was not good, disgusting, and terrible. And also, people at the rally were pretty upset about it, too. And I don't think any of them were Kamala Harris.
No, there were plenty of groans at the rally. There have been plenty of Republicans since then who have spoken out about this. And believe it or not, it gets worse. I didn't even realize till this morning, looking through things, that everybody was so up in arms about the jokes at this guy, Tony, what's his name?
Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, that he was telling about Puerto Ricans and others. We totally missed in there the little joke about Travis Kelce, you know, and his girlfriend Taylor Swift, who, of course, you know, supports Vice President Kamala Harris, and a joke that wistfully, you know, wishes that Taylor Swift might be murdered. Let's give a listen to this great zinger.
I think football should be all year round. Yeah. So many great athletes. I don't know about you guys, but I think that Travis Kelce might be the next O.J. Simpson.
Come on.
Feels good in here.
No, it really doesn't.
Domestic violence and murder. That's just so Tony just pushing the edge and finding those nuggets of truth.
A truth and humor, just uproarious humor. these are the things that people are talking about over this final week, not the issues that Americans care most about, as J.D. Vance would like us to do, because of, again, this refusal to disavow. In fact, J.D. Vance went on even deeper once he got to Racine and really took offense, you know, at being described or being compared to Nazis, which just leads to this point. If you are being compared to Nazis, if your words, if the words of the guy at the top of your ticket are just a bad plagiarism out of Mein Kampf, maybe look at what you're doing and having the self-awareness to go, is it me?
Are we the baddies?
Where's this pivot that we were continually promised? There was never going to be a pivot. We all know this. More people are finally accepting it. And it is, you know, why, and again, we don't do polls here, but there's no headline saying that there's been this sudden groundswell toward Donald Trump. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the ticket, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate, was in Waukesha. Waukesha, when did we think we'd talk so much about the Democratic ticket, president and vice presidential nominees in Waukesha? Tim Walz is in Waukesha. With the Republican mayor, Sean Riley, who has endorsed the ticket. Sophie Carson in the Journal Sentinel writes that Walz and Riley spoke from the patio of a downtown Waukesha coffee shop under a banner that read Country Over Party. Campaign events in Ripon and Brookfield featuring Harris and former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney have used the same slogan, Country Over Party. Bill Clinton will be in Wisconsin Thursday, rather, to campaign in both the Fox Valley and Milwaukee. And the events just continue to roll on. You have Vice President Harris, who is going to be speaking today from the Ellipse in the Capitol. In the nation's capital, the same place where Donald Trump stood on January 6th, 2021, and stirred up the mob that eventually went and tried to ransack the U.S. Capitol and cause harm to Congress and to the vice president and potentially stage a coup. Kamala Harris will be there instead to draw a contrast between her vision for the country and what Trump can't stop talking about, which is election denialism and the things that he would do in promising to be a dictator, but, you know, just for one day, right? Meanwhile, voting is underway here in Wisconsin. You can learn all about it by heading to the voting guides, either at civicmedia.us or upnorthnewswi.com. In both cases, learn how to do early in-person absentee voting. Today is 1 week before the election, which means that if you have already received an absentee ballot, if you had one mailed to you, this really is the last day that you should get this filled out if you're going to mail it back. You've got to give about a week's time in case of any mail delays. If you don't get it mailed today after this, please really consider either taking it to your local drop box, provided that your local sheriff hasn't intimidated your clerks into not offering drop boxes, or walking it right to your clerk's office and handing it over there, or contact your clerk's office for other opportunities to make sure that your absentee ballot gets in and gets counted. Now, coming up, again, we're going to have our social media manager, Sherita Booker, talking about some of the more popular Up North News social media posts of the past week. Christina Lurie a little bit later on. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wasoda and online at upnorthnewswi.com. You can click on subscribe up top and subscribe to our newsletter as well. Back after this, you're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. a Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, let's check out now some of the more popular social media posts that you'll find on all the Up North News platforms, you know, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter, things like that. Sherita Booker puts them all up there and tracks them all as our social media manager. Sherita, how you doing today?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Well, doing all right here. You know, 1 week to go or so till the election. And so I'm sure there were tons of popular posts related to the election, but only one that we're going to mention here. And it's probably not a big surprise given what a big show The West Wing was. I'm sure a lot of people were following a particular post from a big recent visit.
Yep, the cast of the TV drama The West Wing made stops in Waukesha and Milwaukee recently, campaigning for Vice President Kamala Harris with Election Day right around the corner, as we know. We put that video up of them bringing donuts to volunteers of the Waukesha County Democratic Party before canvassing during that weekend morning. And the cast mission was to talk about the Harris-Waltz administration's goals to lower cost and create good paying jobs and contrast the Trump's campaign goals. That post had more than 1,000 likes on our Instagram and our TikTok. It was really good on our TikTok. And Mia said, loved that they stopped at Cranky Al's for donuts too. And 608 Out and About tagged Bradley Whitford and said, a wonderful speaker today at the Alliance Center.
Yes, he was. He was doing double duty, not just the Waukesha Dems visit. There is a book out now about an oral history of the West Wing. I've already dropped several hints to the daughters to get that for me for Christmas time. And I think there was just a lot of nostalgia there. Although, of course, something like this was, you know, polarizing for the Trump people in our comment section. And I like the quote from somebody in response saying, some of y'all need to eat a Snickers. It's great to see celebrities getting involved in our nation's election process. Doesn't matter who you are voting for, what side you believe in. This is a positive thing that happened in Wisconsin. And that part is very true. We should be welcoming of that.
100% agree.
Let's go to an interesting art display that's in Milwaukee. I was not aware of this. I guess it's been around for a little while, but it was a unique picture. It definitely gets your attention. Amazing what you can do with a few beer kegs. Tell us more.
So if you've ever been to Milwaukee, aka Brew City, you may have seen an interesting display of kegs known as the Kegnado. It's a 40-foot public art display on the side of Lakefront Brewery, and it consists of 71 steel kegs placed rather chaotically along the two walls of the building, visible from the Riverwalk, and it gives the impression that the kegs are actually being swept up in a tornado. And each keg is equipped with LEDs, which put on a light show when the sun goes down. And that post had more than 1,000 likes on our Facebook. And Jeffrey actually put a picture in the comments of the light display at night, which looks really cool. So you have to check that out in our comment section on Facebook. And Jake said, I didn't even know it existed, to be honest. And I've lived in Milwaukee all of my life. Well, Jake, add that to your bucket list because it's definitely a must see.
Yeah, I was not familiar with it, like I said, and I'm not, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with Milwaukee, but just clearly haven't gotten down the lakefront. And the photos, now there's a couple of different photos that people have put up when the kegs are lit up, and it is very cool. So that is definitely something I'm going to be looking at the next time that I'm down there. Then if maybe beer is not your thing, maybe it's pop or soda, depending on what part of the state that you come from. And there's a post about one that you can be forgiven if you think that this brand of soda went away and has never come back. But breaking news, it has come back.
Yeah, it has. Jolly Good Soda. It's made in Random Lake, and it won the 2024 Coolest Things Made in Wisconsin contest. And after beating out over 130 other local products, Jolly Good triumphed in a bracket-style tournament known as Manufacturing Madness. And in the final round, it defeated an ice fishing detector, military medals, and a John Deere mower. And the craft soda brand is known for its bold flavors like blue raspberry, sour power, and more. That post had more than 1,000 likes on our Facebook, and Sandy said, congrats. I remember when you could mix and match your case of Jolly Good cans into a cardboard case. They had little jokes on the inside bottom of the can, I think. Loved it. And Lori said, I play Winks in Random Lake, and second place gets a case. I'd rather have the Jolly Good than first place cash, LOL.
Yeah, made me go, you know, looking for a bit more about it, about how the company that originally started it began in Belgium, Wisconsin. It was phased out in 2007, but then other family members decided to bring it back around. Instead of craft beers, why not have craft sodas? And like I said, it was a nice surprise to me that Jolly Good was even back. It got me thinking about some of the other soda brands that, you know, just didn't stick around or maybe aren't around this part of the region anymore. In the western side of the state, I know for sure there was something called the Pop Shop. And you would go there with your red case for these 24 bottles. And there were all these different flavors of pop or soda that you would put in the case. And it was, you know, priced very, you know, it was a budget brand. But I remember doing that a lot as a kid. And so, I mean, you see these things and it's always cool when these brands come back. And when I asked you if you've had Jolly Good Soda, I was very surprised at how quickly you said yes.
Yeah, we used to have it at the corner store down the street from my house when I grew up as a kid. So back then, it was always Jolly Good. And they had all the cool flavors, like the blue raspberry, strawberry, root beer. It was, yeah, the cream soda. I loved cream soda.
Oh, sure. I'm going to have to watch this later. I'm seeing a freeze frame of a Jolly Good commercial from 1979. And you just see, you're seeing the classic pantsuit with a vest, and then the collars. We wore our shirt collars out so wide, it looked like we could sprout wings and take off on our own. So that's, you know, if YouTube is good for nothing else, it's preserving all the commercials of long, long ago. Anyway, for all of these popular posts and more, check out Up North News on all of your favorite social media platforms, where Sharita Booker puts those together and tracks what y'all are saying about them. Sharita, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right, real quick on sports here. Now, the Boston Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night, 119-108. Giannis had 30 points. Dame Lillard had 33. But the Bucks still fell. They are now 1-3 on the season. No, it's not time to press the panic button yet, but still, the Bucks next play Thursday at Memphis. The Badger football game next is at Iowa, Saturday at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, Center, and the Civic Media app. And the Badger women's volleyball team has moved up in the rankings, now seventh in the nation, and a big match coming up Friday night at home, hosting second-ranked Nebraska. My colleague Christina Laurie is coming along next with some more coverage, including unscientific presidential polls done by local businesses. You're up north. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The clock is ticking, the election just days away, and the markets are paying attention to it. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Some markets reacting more than others when it comes to the potential for the election. Details on that next. Spain and Portugal, that's where we're headed next. Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee inviting you to join us April 5th through the 17th for our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour. We'll start in Portugal, where we'll visit a stud farm and witness the process of creating cork. Then on to Spain, where we'll visit an Iberian pig farm and an olive grove. Find out more at holidayvacations.com, keyword PAM, for more information and to watch a travel show. Or call 888-557-1024 for a brochure. Greg McBride is a broker with Allendale Trade Service. He says right now the fact is that they're seeing a little early activity in the grain market because of next week's election. On the flip side, he said livestock, that's sitting still right now. But he said depending on consumers' reaction to the election, that could change too.
Yeah, we have. We started out the year with very good pork demand, and that's kind of waned off a little bit there for a while. It's come back a little bit, but the last couple of weeks haven't been so good. Beef demand just kind of plods along pretty well, but overall, domestic usage has been very good for bulls to go here. Now, that could change. Obviously, you could see something happen after this election. That's the big wild card over the next week and the next couple of months as we prepare for a brand new president, regardless of which side wins.
That's Greg McBride, a commodity broker with Allendale. He says theoretically the current election cycle should all be over next week, but he said in reality, when it comes to international trade, we could see the markets ripple after Tuesday's results for weeks. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, I'm happy to report, are a little stronger. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, barrel and block cheese were both unchanged, while AA butter dropped to $2.67.5 per pound this morning. December corn is up to at $4.13. November beans up a nickel at $9.79. December wheat's unchanged at $5.59, and so is the March contract. Currently, November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 9, 20, 22, 100 weight. There's your quick snapshot of where the numbers stand on a Tuesday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 35. Tonight, our temperature dropping into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, showers, thunder showers with falling temperatures will be in the upper 50s to low 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mary Hayes is the chair of the Shawangunk Democrats for Bayfield and Ashland counties. Going to get a little update with her. We will wrap it all up with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Time to visit with Christina Laurie. She's our community editor, puts together our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, where there's going to be plenty of coverage about this thing that's happening 1 week from today. Christina, I think we're ready for it to be over and done with.
No, what's happening?
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding. Yes, we're not. We won't be like one of the presidential candidates who said that January 5th is the day that we vote. November 5th is the last day that everyone needs to have their ballots turned in by Election Day. I'm a proud Election Day voter. I believe you're ahead of time.
I turned in mine in at my town drop box last week. I love Election Day voting. I have had to miss a couple of them as things came up at the last minute. So I just want to make sure I get there. So
anyone who knows me, it's very out of character for me to do something day of. I'm always the person who's like planning way ahead, but Election Day is just something I just like to be in the energy of Election Day. I remember my very first election. My voting place was very, very far from my dorm on the University of Illinois campus. I proudly casted my ballot, and I was part of one of the first, what we call now as the Big Ten Challenge. We're now up to 18 schools in the Big Ten.
Yeah, the Big Ten is now 18, for those who have lost count.
So it'll be even harder to win the title, but it's a challenge. Just the basics of this is that they're trying to encourage college students to turn out. And what better way to do that? Of course, the two biggest motivators are food and trophies.
Yes.
So a lot of these events, they'll give you a free cookie, some free pizza if you get out and make your voice heard, registering to vote and then actually doing the thing.
Yes.
And we all know that Wisconsin is a force on the football field, basketball court, but it turns out the Badgers are really reliable at the ballot box too. They actually won this challenge in 2022 during the midterms, with a 56% turnout rate, which is almost double the national voting turnout rate of college students that year, which was just 30.6%, which is incredibly impressive. And I'm really interested to see how they fare in this now 18 school Big Ten.
Well, that's the wonder now is, what's it like at Washington and what's it like at UCLA, USC, and Oregon? But those are also pretty reliable blue states.
That's what I was going to say. I don't expect, especially California, to swing anything. I believe that Washington, they are uniquely like politically active there. Mm-hmm. So I expect that their turnout will be pretty high. I don't know a whole lot about Oregon.
No. You've got this much bigger conference now, but I just don't see how your top ones aren't in the swing states. Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. I mean, there's just no way those aren't 1 through 4 right there.
What's surprising is that Illinois consistently ranks really high too, and that's reliably blue. Mm-hmm. That's why I was excited to move here.
People were like, are you guys going to talk sports this week? Nope, we're going to talk about the elections coming up. Nope, we've turned it into a sports event for the Big Ten, and it's going to be covered on ESPN 8, The Ocho, so stick around for the Big Ten Challenge.
No, but actually, I've been having this argument with a lot of people that I think there are a ton of parallels between politics and sports. People, they support their team, which, in politics is a candidate. And then there's always that question. I faced this as a Sox fan this year. At what point do you switch teams? It got just too much to watch loss after loss after loss. I felt like I was losing my passion for the game and the thing that I actually care about. So that's when I kind of picked up the Brewers, and I was still able to continue the thing that I love and care about. And that's really a parallel that a lot of, maybe those Nikki Haley voters are feeling this election, those registered Republicans who just can't stomach voting for Trump again. They don't want to, they want to participate in the process, but they need to find a new quote unquote team. So there are a lot of parallels.
Yes, I would hope that to continue the analogy here, that if your team was declaring itself the winners of the games and rigging the scoreboard, that you might consider not rooting for that team anymore. But
and as a Sox fan, we did do that.
What do you mean?
That was the Black Sox.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it was the Black Sox, I was not a fan then. You know, I wasn't.
Yeah, it was a little before your time, and they threw it to lose in order to make money. I can't really see that happening in politics. By the way, when you mentioned what was it, pizza, and what else was at stake here? It just reminds me that there are rules about, you know, exchanging things for votes. And again, I'm not aware of any big crackdown on it, but I think we always bring this up every election cycle, that there is a limit someplace where it's one thing to encourage voting. It's another to basically, you know, buy a voter to make them go vote.
That's why I want to make it clear. So at these voter registration events that are happening on campus, there's always food, but there's food at every single event that's ever on campus. It's to like encourage people to sign up. It's not saying, you know, cast your vote and then come here and get a slice of pizza. So it's just kind of part of the experience altogether. But speaking of food, that is something else I wanted to talk about because, you know, it's not a Christina and Pat segment unless right. we bring up something to eat, of course. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of bakeries all across the state that are hosting these cookie polls.
Oh, yes.
So they make Trump cookies, they make Kamala cookies, and then they see who sells more. Now, some of them, like Uncle Mike's Bake Shop, that's up in Green Bay, mm-hmm. or down in Green Bay, depending on where you're listening to this, I guess. Yeah. I'm from Madison. But they are publishing like at the end of every day, they have like an ongoing results tab. So you can see like which candidate's winning. And I know that that is a trends to be more of a red area in the state. However, Trump is winning like 70% to 30% in this poll at last check, which to me, I was curious if some people are like buying both cookies for their parties. Some people are buying Trump cookies just for fun, or if his support really is 70% in that area. I was just thinking of myself, if I was buying these cookies, even though I know who I'm casting my ballot for, I would buy both candidates because that's, you know, part of the experience. You need to have both their faces on your party plate.
I guess this is again where we put all of the disclaimers out there about non-scientific polling and the way that the national polling averages have been so skewed because, you know, these rinky-dink firms come along with, you know, who knows what their methodology is or anything. And that's why I always tell people, just don't listen to the polls. Do not listen to the polls. Your vote should be you deciding what is right for you. And if it should be the chocolate chip cookie, then you go get that chocolate chip cookie. And if it should be the windmill cookie with the nuts in it, well, you should walk away because those are the worst cookies ever. But you get to choose the cookie that works for you.
That seems like a personal attack. I am a big fan. I'm both Dutch and I love those cookies.
I should have known coming into the segment that I was going to step in it in some way, shape, or form. All right.
No, but in other cookie news, I did want to bring up one other great locally owned bakery in my neck of the woods called Bloom Bake Shop. It's just like just down the street from Camp Randall in Madison. They are selling Kamala cookies that are literally the shape of commas mm-hmm. and then say la on them. And I just think they're the coolest thing ever. It would be a fun way to troll anyone in your life who is still purposefully mispronouncing her name as if that's some kind of flex. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was a cute variation of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, you had Monaco Brewing Company. They had Kamala beer for a time. In fact, I think they came up with a different brand or flavor of it this year.
They're now selling Hope.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is a progressive brew. And then they're selling Nope, which is a non-alcoholic sparkling water.
Yes. Which is, again, they're talking about Trump there when they talk about Nope. What else have you got for us when you're thinking about election stories that you're covering that are a little out of the traditional lane of, you know, he said and he said and she said and she said?
Yes. Don't forget the she in this. And yes. That's a big part. We've been out. Our whole team has been out trying to talk to voters, engage their excitement for this election. And what stuck out to me is, of course, like being in a college town, I'm talking to a lot of young first-time voters. But I'm also seeing a disproportionate amount of stories of first-time older voters, particularly mm-hmm. women. I mean, they've been making national headlines. There was a woman in Michigan over the weekend who cast her ballot early for the first time. She's 84. Her husband never wanted her to vote. He died. She kind of chuckled when she was sharing that part of the story. And now she's casting her ballot for the first time. But she's not alone in this. And it just really is sticking out to me because the past three elections in particular, 2016, 2020, and then this one, have been so consequential. And of course, 2016, we also had a woman on the ballot. So this one really does feel different. The kind of voters that we're talking to, I've been in news media since like for all three of those elections. I've never seen more energized voters. And I'm sure you're hearing that too, Pat. But something just feels different. And well, it seems like every – oh, go ahead.
Well, it's because we have consistently for presidential elections, you have the highest turnout. And in some places, it's around, you know, 70% or so. But that still means, you know, so many, many people who haven't voted. And it cuts both ways. As I've said before, there are people who never voted because, frankly, they had some opinions that were, shall we say, out of the mainstream. And now Donald Trump comes along and they're like, oh, here's a guy whose values mesh with mine, unfortunately. And so I'm going to go vote for him. And so they vote for the first time. But I do think, especially in light of the Dobbs decision, that they are going to be more far outnumbered by people with stories like the one you just shared, people who had voted Republican most of their lives, but again, between either the Dobbs decision or Trump, or, you know, they don't want their husband telling them what to do anymore, are saying, no, this vote is my declaration of independence, that I'm not beholden to a party or to a person other than myself when it comes to my vote.
That's exactly true. And just the bottom line here is that it's just exciting to see people excited about politics again and not completely fed up. Because if we rewind to July, it seemed like so many people were tuned out. And I know the election was much farther away back then, but it seemed like people weren't really excited that right. much, except for the core people mm-hmm. about their main candidates. So it's nice to see that kind of like electricity and enthusiasm. And I can tell you, it seems like there's a lot of parallels between this and the energy that was around 2008, especially I was in Illinois at that time, just outside of Chicago. And I remember that Grant Park rally where President Obama accepted the nomination that night. I mean, it was crazy. That was my first political event that I ever went to. My parents dragged me there. I didn't want to go because it was a school night and I had a big test the next day. Obviously, that teacher had not been paying attention to what was happening. Yes. Schedule a test the next day. But it was just like there was this energy and excitement that the future is going to be positive. And I mean, that's the reason you have me on your show, usually, just to talk about those uplifting, positive stories. So it's nice that we could finally have an entire segment that's about politics that's also positive. Because yes. That's been rare.
There's that word that you never hear in presidential election cycles, joy. And it was this people that were joyful about seeing Kamala Harris take the spot as Democratic nominee. Tim Walz certainly brought a sense of joy to this. And I think, though, at the same time, it wasn't just that they were positive candidates and that people were positive about wanting to vote. But again, on the other side of the ticket are two gentlemen who could not be more glum, more sour, more dour, more negative. And, you know, a lot of times that works in politics where they go, yeah, you know, they get people to throw up their hands and say, I'm not even going to take part in it. I think this time around, people are looking at that and saying, that is not what I want the next 4 years to look like. I vote for joy.
Why are you voting for someone who believes America isn't the best? No. You show up because you're a fan and you care about this school in the future and you're going to support them no matter what.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Back with more after this. You're up north.
Yeah. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. Put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay, my fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year.
If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China.
Anything in your house that says made in China,
take the price that you paid for and add 60%.
He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country.
With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year.
Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris.
Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
This was the number one song 51 years ago today. Gladys Knight, As Smooth As Ever, along with the Pips with Midnight Train to Georgia, began a two-week run at the top of the charts on this day in 1973. This day in 2016, Bob Dylan accepted the Nobel Prize in Literature. Still trying to wrap my head around that one, but Midnight Train to Georgia, by the way. I mean, here's a song about a guy who failed in his dreams. And it's time for him to go home. Now, he's met a girl who's going to go along with him, but imagine you're the guy, and your failing is immortalized for the next half century in pop music. Thankfully, we don't have that problem here. We have Greg Bach, and we have Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV, people who have reached the pinnacle of their dreams and are taking no midnight trains to anywhere. Dan Hagen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You know, everyone is bound to make a mistake eventually, so I know I'm due, but not quite there.
You know
there
you're
yet.
Due?
I know I'm due. It's going to happen, maybe today, but haven't made one yet.
Poor Greg's over here going, yeah, I agreed to host a 6 a.m. radio show. You know, we all make decisions.
I feel like it's a slow-rolling failure, but okay, fine.
It just rolls decade after decade, but nobody's writing music about us. So the number one song this day in 1966, long before Prince changed his name to a symbol, there was a different symbol at the top of the chart, just simply a question mark. The group's name was Question Mark and the Mysterians. A lot of birthdays today, not musically related. Tracy Ellis Ross, the actress from Girlfriends and Blackish. Little pop culture trivia here, Dan. Tracy Ellis Ross, you know her?
Can't say I do.
So you don't know her mom?
Can't say I do.
That would be Diana Ross, the music legend. Diana Ross and her husband had a baby girl 52 years ago today in 1972 who grew up to become the actress Tracy Ellis Ross.
That's some real gotcha questioning there, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Hard-hitting journalists like this, we do this to each other, you know, with the gotcha questions. Also 52 years old today, Gabrielle Union.
What?
Now, is she... I know. I had to double check that myself.
Oh,
now, is she and Dwayne Wade, are they a thing?
Because Dwayne Wade.
But Pat, you have to check out the Dwayne Wade statue.
I was going to ask you about. Have you seen this? Seen this?
Yeah.
Look up
the worst statues I've ever seen.
Look up the Dwayne Wade statue that was just unveiled in Miami. And Dwayne Wade, God bless him, Marquette basketball legend. there you go.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's nothing. It's nothing like him. Now, he put a brave face on it, which is more than I can say for the statue, saying, hey, it's the artistic expression of who I am. I'm gonna say no. No, I'm going to call him out on that one. What do you think, Dan?
Well, that was the same reasoning I gave to my ceramics teacher in high school, and I still got a C. So, I'm not buying it.
No, I wouldn't.
Your
either.
Teacher was like, this looks nothing like Dwayne Wade.
That's right. See? Richard Dreyfuss is 77 years old today. Charlie's Angel Kate Jackson is 76 today. Winona Ryder is 53 years old today. And boy, it's just been how many days in a row do we have Taylor Swift on the history lesson?
Is she sponsoring this show? Because I feel like I love Taylor. I consider myself a low grade Swifty, but man, she's here a lot lately.
I don't think she has the money to be a sponsor. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think she can scrape it together for this show. My guess is since a lot of them are when her albums are released and when they chart that she figured out some time ago that during this time of year, you know, pre-Christmas is when you want to release those albums. It was on this day in 2014, 10 years ago today, 1989 was released with songs that included Style, we played that earlier, Shake It Off, and Blank Space. The thing I can say, as I don't even know if I qualify as a low-grade Swifty, but at least if somebody says, do you have a favorite Taylor Swift album, I can right away say, without hesitation, 1989. I do like all the singles that came off of this thing. The others you'd have to remind me, but I'd probably catch them. Dan, 1989. Let's put it this way. Another hard-hitting question. What is your favorite Taylor Swift album?
Well, 1989 was my favorite for the longest time. I think song after song is great, and there's no skips. You know, sometimes albums, there's some skippable songs. Not 1989. I would say Midnight, so that was my favorite, the recently released one. I just think that one's so fun.
Sure, that definitely works. Let's see. On this day, Delta Airlines merged with Northwest, so Northwest Airlines, Twin Cities-based, went away. It created the world's largest airline. It reduced the number of U.S. legacy carriers to 5. Now we're down to 4. It's actually really only 3. It's Delta, American, and United. And then technically Alaska counts as one of the legacy carriers. And on the national calendar today, it's World Stroke Day, International Brain Tumor Awareness Week. It's National Cat Day, National Hermit Day, National Oatmeal Day, and National Internet Day because of the first computer-to-computer message sent this day in 1969.
The first DM slid into? All right.
The first DM slid into. There you go. Dan, what's happening at WJFW? What are you guys working on today?
Well, one time a high schooler told me I look like someone who eats oatmeal every day, and I still am trying to recover from that.
I'd take that compliment anytime, said the 60-year-old. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, Rhinelander Public Transit is being cut by the city, so we've been kind of looking into that. A lot of disabled older people are going to be affected by that, so that's on our website right now if you want to.
Okay, folks, look for that and everything else that Dan's working on. Dan Hagen from WJFW. And yes, Tony, I did just walk right by National Cat Day. We deal with that with Whiskers every Monday as it is. Dan, thanks so much. Cat lover or not, we don't have time to figure it out, so we'll talk next week on election day perhaps. All right, take care. Back with more in our second hour of Up North News.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, we share a teaser for the new show, Wabino Volunteer Fire. Tim McCormick from the Harley-Davidson Museum joins to talk the 115th anniversary and Wisconsin-based comedian, Dobie Maxwell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
He's coming. Here we go.
Surprise! Your table saw broke. Also, the warranty expired weeks ago, so you need to pay for anyone out of pocket.
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Oh, and the replacement part you ordered doesn't fit, so it's completely useless.
What a waste.
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.